Alley Club, are your favorite Canadian superheroes on the way? Is Alpha Flight the next team coming to Marvel Strike Force after Hive Mind? More gold, more training match challenges finally arrived, and Gwenom got a major, major update. It is very, very good. What happened? We're going to discuss that and the rest of the news in this edition of your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. This week, I am joined by my brother, Mobile Gamer. And if you're ready for it, brother Mobile, let him know what to do.
Let's go smash it!
Yeah! Welcome back to the Valley Flying channel. I am Valley Flying. This is Mobile Gamer, and this is your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. We do this every single week, keeping you up to date on all the latest in Marvel Strike Force, what is coming up, what happened over the past week. And if this is your first time here, hit that subscribe button for more great Marvel Strike Force content. At least 5 videos per week, all about Marvel Strike Force news updates, question and answer, reveal videos, everything to help your experience in Marvel Strike Force. But let's get right into it. How are you doing, Mobile Gamer? How has your experience this week been in Marvel Strike Force?
My default personality is to be salty and skeptical always towards the game. It's been okay. I don't know what to tell you.
I see a little smile on your face.
I don't know what to say. The game is in a better place than it was, let's say, a year ago. That is the reality. The game is in a better place.
I mean, we're going to talk a little bit more about this in detail, but 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago, they talked about the Horseman events coming, the community complained. Last week, not even a week later, they changed it, make it a lot more accessible. This is a very, very different company. And I think there's no more evidence of that than what we saw on social media yesterday, Mobile Gamer. Did you check all this stuff out?
Okay, I saw this, but it was dragged out over about a 4-hour period yesterday, and I ended my stream before we got the big payoff. But it was like, dude, it was hysterical. Dorky Dad was tricked into creating a Twitter account. You know, they're talking about, and then Tana. It's hysterical. We'll read it. It's really funny.
All right, so it starts off at 2:00 p.m. Devs, don't leak it. Me, I'm gonna leak it with the upside down question mark. My Slack's got the angry circles. The next tweet, about an hour later. If I do it, Dorky Dad tells me he doesn't have X, the social media platform previously known as Twitter. Also says, Tana told me to do it. I'm having second thoughts. I'm alt F4ing will automatically refresh the page for you.
Yes.
She won't leak it. You think I won't? And then we get the bombshell that you're talking about. This.
Yep.
And I didn't know what this was. Obviously a new character coming. We got some guesses later on, but what do you think of this social media strategy? I mean, it keeps going even after this too. And this is awesome. I love this.
Well, I actually streamed for almost about an hour longer than I normally would have yesterday. I was waiting for the response to this. And then eventually,
hook in you, brother.
Yeah, because I get on Twitch. And then one of the main things that I do on Twitch is I record a video every day for the offer review and stuff like that. And I wanted it to be an offer review. But like at some point, it's just like, well, I've waited for three or four hours. And so I think they posted this about 30 minutes after I left, and then I've gone on social media. And
they were waiting for you to leave, Mobile. They were waiting for you to leave.
I don't think it's anything like that. I think they had. First of all, I want to say I like the playful nature of this. I feel like it's good spirited. You know, there's a lot of companies that are doing this, like Wendy's and Pringles and all that stuff. So, I think this is a good thing, and I like that they got the community excited about it, and they give us just enough. Now, the cool thing about this is, you and I do not know what this is. Like, yeah, everybody thinks we've got like embargoed secret. This is brand new information. We've not seen any of this.
This was not at the Envoy Summit. This team was not described in Envoy Summit. We have no idea what this is for, other than the guesses that the community has already made. And I guess we're going to find out tomorrow, because if we keep going down, it says also blog tomorrow. And by tomorrow, I mean Friday, which is not tomorrow, which I guess is right now. But yeah,
well,
everybody gets a symbiote.
I'm guessing this is a skill raid team, and it's a part of the Canadian team. I'm not familiar with the team. You got the other screenshot.
We got a few more. So the guesses from the community are twofold. One is either this character Guardian, James Hudson, also known as Vindicator, and I think he's got a few other names here. Now, this costume looks like exactly what we see here, except this is red, and another shot of this character looks exactly what we see here, but it's red.
Was that the Canadian Maple Leaf, right?
The Maple Leaf, yeah. Now, the other character that looks like that has the black and white is this character, Northstar, that has a very similar costume, but it's not exactly what's shown. So this costume is kind of a cross between the Guardian and the North Star costumes, right?
This could be black and like, okay, the photo on Twitter, right, is, you know, work in progress, and it's black and white, but he may in fact be red. Does that make sense?
So maybe this is not the final form. They're just showing the black and white version. Yes,
because look at his chin.
That is a possibility.
His chin is black and white, right? I just don't think it's colored. Okay. I don't think it has red or, you know, anything in it.
Either way, it's this guy or this guy. It's Alpha Flight coming. It's one of these guys, right? It has to be. It can't be somebody else.
Yeah, so, I mean, my guess is that this is a skill raid team.
That would make sense. That's what we're missing right now. Unless they want to hold off on Incursion 2 a little bit longer. I think they do another raid every year. So maybe this is a little too soon. Maybe they want Invaders to go a little longer.
This is something. Are these guys mutants? Maybe I'm completely wrong then, if these are mutants.
Some of them are mutants, I believe. They're related to Wolverine, and they have a relationship to the X-Men. Maybe they're the Canadian part of
the Canadian version of the X-Men. So if they're mutants, then it is not a skill raid team, obviously, right? So maybe it's a Crucible team.
The skill origin, the mutant origin. Yeah, I just put that together.
Yeah, so obviously me not knowing the lore of Alpha Flight kind of excludes them from being a skill raid team, the case. There
Crucible
you go.
Team, war team, someone is suggesting something that the enemies can't spawn with Safeguard and something like that in Crucible because it's getting, I don't know. It's all guesses, guys. So,
hey, when has the origins and the tags ever made sense in this game? Maybe they're just going to make them skilled.
Until they have to switch it. Then they switch it to whatever they need.
But what I want, you know, in the intermediate term is a skill raid team, so maybe we'll will it into existence. Maybe they'll make Professor X the lead of the skill raid team because I want it.
Well, it's gonna be the helmet. That's skillful.
He doesn't even need a mutant tag. Never mind lore. They never seem to care about lore or tags anyway. So
like Kestrel and Doom, the double tag, the skill mutant. All right. So yeah, this is all fun. Let me know your guesses in the comments, guys. I think this kind of marketing is really, really fun. Not giving us all the stuff, just letting us guess. I like that. Let me know how you enjoy these. And let's move on to new gold challenges. My goodness, this was harder than expected, but I enjoy the difficulty. I'm wondering, I got a few questions for you. Let's talk about the amounts first, though. Uh-huh. Going from 220 at tier 14, now we got tier 18, 330 per, and then 700 of these gold orb fragments to 900. That doesn't seem like a big amount to me, Mobile Gamer. What do you think of these amount of these gold challenges, the increase that we got?
Well, I did some loose math, and it was not exact math, but you know, that basically is going from an average of 660,000 to 900,000 per in each attempt, right? And you get to do it three times, and then it's three times a week, right? And then how much is that a month, right? Maybe I didn't do the math right.
Well, Mobile Gamer, I did zero calculations. So what are the calculations that you put up? Because whatever you got is more correct than I did have.
No, so I got some loose math, and there's some RNG. So it should come out to about 240,000 extra gold per day that these challenges run. And they run three times a week. So that's 750,000 over a course of a week, over a course of a month. That's about 3 million gold. Okay. So this is not a large number, but it is more than we were getting before. I strongly feel that the tremendous expense in taking current characters from 95 to 100 is going to greatly exceed this 3 million gold. I'm just putting that out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, if only we had this when we got gear tier 15 arrived, when gear tier 16 arrived, gear tier 17 arrived, and we got these challenges when we first got gear tier 18 and not when we're about to get gear tier 19.
Right.
It could have been more, but they're increasing gold in many different ways. This is just one of the ways that they're increasing it. But they've been describing this for patch after patch after patch, just finally here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good.
I wish they would update these every time a new gear tier comes out, which
they used to, but they forgot the past few level caps, right?
Yeah. So Dark Dimension 7 comes out, we get gear tier 19. You know, usually there's a level cap increase right before that. You know, this happens like every 9 months or so. We get a new big bad, Mephisto. Why can't we just get an update then? You know, why can't they just do it all at once now?
We used to. The first 3 years we did, and then they and they forgot, I think.
They just forgot. So I feel like this is the changing the guard. This is a good thing. Yes, and today I was able to go up to 17. You three started. I too started. Red Hulk blindsided me out of nowhere.
Let's talk about the difficulty, because I enjoyed the difficulty. I did the first couple on auto. And I was autoing 17. I'm like, oh wait, there's a Red Hulk there. I better make sure they're targeting this correctly, otherwise it's gonna blow up. And then at the end, I switched it. But I like that it's difficult. What do you think about the difficulty?
Yeah, I think it should be challenging enough where it's just not press auto, and you know they can't do damage to you, and you wipe the team, and they just die. I don't think that's fun. I feel like the recent campaign nodes that they've released have been largely uneventful. It's just like this feels like it's tailored around gear tier 17, and the next tier is going to be tailored around gear tier 18. And I think that is the way it should be. Now, there does come a point where it's too hard, but I don't think that is it. Now, do I think this is going to be finishable by everybody? I don't. I think this is going to be end game type stuff.
And you know what, mobile gamer? You're going to have a 2-star at 17 forever, because you're never going to go back and do it. You're going to go to gear 18. You're going to 3-star that, and you're never going to get it. There's no reason to go back on that.
That's my hope right there, right? I hope that's what happens, right?
Yeah. Shoot, what was I going to say?
Training materials. We got training materials coming too.
Wait. There was one more thing I was going to ask you. There was one more thing. But mobile gamer, I do think that is proper. You said the campaign missions were a little easy. Because that's where we farm character shards, that's where we farm gear, I do think that should be easy. I like that this is difficult. The thing about this is different. We have attempts. We have three, we have as many attempts as we want, but we could complete these three times per day. So, you know, if you need it, you need 10 attempts to beat this. I think that's fun. It's like resetting the kill tower or the scourges just to get that perfect run. I know some people don't like that, but I like challenge, and I think this is a little different than the campaigns, but let's move on.
I welcome it. I mean, I don't want it to be impossible, but I don't also want it to be auto and walk away from it. You know, and I think that it's a difficult balance for them to achieve, you know, what is going to be challenging to a percentage of the players, but not impossible to a large number of players. That becomes frustrating. So, and I don't know how they balance it, but I was like, wow, I'm not going to be able to get 3-stars on this. I have to be more mindful. And to, you know, the next time I go through this, you know, I'm guessing that the gear tier 18 is going to be hard. I'm really going to have to think about doing it correctly to get 3-stars, because I am going to want 3-stars on 18.
Did you just auto? Did you just play it and like, oh no,
I was messing around with a Sinister Six Doc Ock team, and I had to swap out and put in some secret defenders to make it go through it. So I had to play it twice.
Oh yeah, I did secret defenders and then just goblin and Ock or something like that. But yeah, I think it's good. Now we have these training day ones here as well. They're not live yet. They're going to be live tomorrow, but we've got a tier 15, 16, 17, 18. Amounts don't seem a lot here. Every bit helps, but it doesn't seem like a lot. Have you done any calculations on these training mats as well? And if so, is this going to make a big difference in the economy?
All right, I'm just going to call it right now. The bottleneck going forward is going to be training materials. And I'm going to call it right now that, you know, people are going to go from level 95 to 96 and 96 and so on. And every other post on Reddit is going to be about training materials in, let's say, 6 weeks to 2 months from now. I'm calling it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually either gold or training mats. And I'm in a place right now I'm decent on both. I do like that they're doing this though, and I hope it's just as hard as the gold one. I do want to like struggle with it and then get that really the big dopamine rush when I finally beat it. I was like, oh yes, I finally beat it. It's super hard. But you know where I'm struggling with? As far as I'm struggling with T4's mobile gamer. I thought it was the only one. I posted this Envoy chat yesterday. Apparently other people are struggling with this as well. Is this just a me problem, or are you also struggling with T4's?
I think that T4's is largely going to depend on your alliance. It feels like a large chunk of them come from alliance and alliance events. I've been able to manage. So for example, yesterday I applied T4s to Void Knight, right? And okay. I had enough to do everything but the basic. So if I didn't, then I'd probably be saying what you're saying. But for me, I've been able to like manage it. Now, where I have a problem with T4s, and this is kind of counterintuitive, is it's reworks that usually screw me up.
I think that's what did it for me. The Sinister Six rework. Spending it all
there. I mean, because the mount, first of all, I love reworks, but those are characters that I usually ignored and didn't put a lot of T4s. And a lot of the reworks require finishing the T4s on them, right? Yeah. Because they put the good abilities. And so instead of just keeping up with the characters that are coming out, and like a new character comes out and I determine whether it needs two T4s or three T4s, or sometimes it's all four. Usually I have enough T4s to do that. But when there are reworks also on top of that, like, and I imagine a lot of people right now are going and putting T4s on Carnage and Venom. I already had the T4s on those guys. If I didn't, I would be in a big problem with T4s.
You would have struggled in a raid years ago if you didn't.
Yes, yes, but those just happen. So those particular reworks just happen to be characters that I already had the T4s on. But if I didn't, yes, I would be starred for T4s. I feel like T4s is a bottleneck that exists. It could be better, but I haven't found it to be like overly oppressive. It's just forced me to be selective.
I haven't even finished Forge, and I know back in the day I used to have thousands and thousands of these. I'm like, oh, just G4 everything. A new character comes out, I'll do all four. Now I'm like, oh, I can't even do the new character. Well, I think it is what you said. I think it is
because of reworks. You just gotta buy some offers. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not buying enough offers. That's what we figured out the problem. Right, I gotta buy more offers, Valley Club. That's what it is. That's so all.
I believe it's by design, and yes, it could be better for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the new character, Void Knight. I have not built this character up. I got the gold and this stuff, but I was trying to build for the Kiln Tower. I have no T4s to put in this character. What did you think of Void Knight? And how good is a character on a 3 or 4 piece team? Because like I said, I haven't used them except on the test server, and the results weren't that great on the test server when I tried them out. What is your experience with Void Knight?
Okay, so there's three things. Well, there's four things. I'll talk with the first thing that you asked was, how is it going to work in a 3 or 4 piece? Now, on the test server, I was able to get through the boss node with the 4 piece and super scroll.
Okay.
I was able to do it. Now, here's the thing, that they were maxed out. That's not going to be realistic. So it's not realistic. That's a maxed out team. So right now we have a reasonable solution with Rebirth and super scroll. Now that does require multiple people hitting the boss node.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you about. The boss node. Yeah.
The boss node. It's not, as far as I know, people that are getting through it, at best they're sacking the node and then they're going in and maybe they get through most of it, but it feels like it's a team effort. You know, there's four people in each lane and it usually requires multiple people hitting the node, and that's just the way it is right now. The question is, will this team allow for a single person to go through it by themselves? And the answer to the question is, We don't have Red Goblin's kit. We don't know. We don't know anything about Red Goblin. We have a unofficial.
We haven't even seen a preview of his kit. We haven't, like, sometimes we know like, nothing. What do you think of this kit? Right. Like, we give feedback. We haven't seen anything.
No, but the way it is right now with Rebirth and Super Scroll. We can't one shot it, but we can get through it, right? We have a reasonable solution currently in place. So the other thing is, okay, so we don't know what Red Goblin looks like. We don't know what the next version of raids look like. I can promise you that it's going to be designed in a way where Rebirth will not work on the next version of the raids. That's the way they always do things, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but we still don't know when that is. We don't. So we have no information on raid.
But yeah, all the characters might know.
Yeah, we have no information on raid viability of this team. Okay, so secondly, how good is this team going to be outside of raids, like in Cosmic Crew Alliance War? We don't have Red Goblin's kit.
How about this character? How about Void Knight? Does Void Knight have any use right now?
Yes,
I'm seeing various game modes for Void Knight.
You're getting the last point. Is this character plug and play? And oh lordy, yes, I think so. His passive is amazing. in that he has a native speed of 113. On spawn, fill this character's speed bar by 25%. That gives him an effective speed of 141, which means you're going to get an early ability block. If you look at his ultimate sucks everybody together and then gives the primary target ability block. More importantly than that, it gets 5,000% extra focus, unavoidable, and can't be counterattacked. My guess is that singular feature of 141 speed plus having a high focus ability block is going to be good for a long time in a lot of game modes. And I'm going to go out on a limb and predict that he might even be currently arena viable.
I'm seeing some rumblings of that now. I asked Dorky Dad because they said that the next Zima was supposed to be Ronin, right? But with the blind instead, that was kind of what they were going after. This guy with his speed, early ability block on the ult, is Void Knight the next Zemo?
Maybe. Look at his special for a second, right? Go to his special right here. So this is kind of an interesting thing where he can, if you steal. Do the T4, outside of range, steal.
I don't have T4s. Right? I can't do it.
Okay. Outside of real steal, one ability.
This is awesome T4. I want to do this one.
So people are saying that they are putting Skirmisher on him, and then they're using this to stop early Super Skrull. What I'm super curious about.
That's smart.
Yeah, what I'm curious about, and I haven't tested it, probably I'm hoping your comment section will have the answer to this. So one of the things that has been unknown is there's been this line drawn in the sand right now with an arena, Super Skrull owners versus non-Super Skrull owners. What if there is an APOC, Black Cat, Void Knight team that can beat Super Skrull on defense?
On defense. Would the AI have to use special though instead of the ultimate? Or is the
No. I'm talking about if I don't have Super Skrull, can I use Void Knight to beat my opponent's Super Skrull defensive team?
So people that haven't been through Dark Dimension 6, is this a way to I see what you're saying.
I'm predicting that that this is going to be so, like what I was saying is that, you know, is this going to be a good raid team? Probably. Is this going to be, but we don't have Red Goblin, so why do anything today, right?
It will be a good raid team, because if it sucks, the devs have shown they'll rework their team to make it a good raid. This will be a good raid team. This will.
Is it going to be a good Alliance War in Cosmic Crucible?
That's the question.
Is this going to be a good plug and play character? This is one of the more promising characters as far as plug and play I've seen in a minute. And we'll just have to see. My prediction is yes, this is going to be an important, possibly even arena member. I mean, think about how many times in Cosmic Crucible, just having the ability to ability block early actually matters.
It's like Zemo, not just Cosmic Crucible, just in the game. That's why Zemo was so valuable for a while. Super early ability block. This character has the same thing. I think this is the next Zemo. He's going to be very, very relevant, which is interesting because on the Envoy call about this team, it was asked. I can't remember who asked it. Is Void Knight supposed to be like the next plug-and-play character like Nightcrawler? They said no. The next plug-and-play character is supposed to be Red Goblin. So if this character is this plug-and-play right now, imagine how crazy Red Goblin's going to be.
We don't know.
The kid may not even find out when they said that.
Here's the deal. I'm absolutely not skipping this team, but I'm currently shelving him. Does that make sense? I'm going to upgrade.
I am at level 60, no T4.
I need
this character. I just don't have the resources to build him right now.
Well, not only that, but I don't have the rest of the team. There's nothing I can really do with him. Like, I'm not in a rut.
I'm curious about the arena value for this character. That's why I want to build him right now. I'm not going to use them in raids. The 3-piece sucks. I tried it on the tester. The 3-piece sucks. I tried it with Skrull and Nova, and they are not good. Rebirth Skrull is better than the 3-piece.
Yeah, right now. I mean, there's a way of doing the 3-piece with Agent Venom and Super Skrull. I would have to try it.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, there is a symbiote. Yeah, I forgot about that. All right, now speaking of the symbiotes, we got some good news. It was a very, very tough team to build because of all the alien spores. Luckily, this is a very different scope. The devs have listened. Gwenom, her unique has got changed. It's not the the alien spores anymore. It's augmented experimental formula. This is great stuff. How excited is you? I know you made a video about the alien spores. Yeah. Less than a week later, we have a new thing like this. How excited are you for this change and that the devs are actually listening and making it better for players and not harder and harder for players?
Yeah, the problem was that Venom, Carnage, Super Skrull, Void Knight, and Gwenom, and possibly even Red Goblin, we don't know, would be all alien spores. And so even if you were sitting on 200 alien spores, you know, to max out any one of these characters is 65 each alien spores. At a minimum, if you want to take him to gear tier 17, which seems to be kind of baseline today, would you agree that 17 is kind of like baseline? Yeah, that's 40 alien spores per character. And so maybe you've done Venom and Carnage already. Maybe for Kiln, you did Venom because that was a good choice. I believe in Kiln was Venom. Yeah. But still, how am I going to do Void Knight? I spend money, right? And they haven't really even provided. So this is a situation where the development team listened to the community, and it's kind of out of their form. Like, are they okay over there? They're listening to the community. I mean,
I hope they make a lot more money doing things like this.
I hope so too, because they listen.
I love the game like this.
So, I made videos. Reddit was complaining about like this alien spore thing was a problem because there were no more alien spores, right? And the problem with alien spores or all uniques in general is that there's over 25 of them. And like, let's say you're looking for them in the Crucible store and there's one slot. Well, there's only like a 1 in 26 chance it's ever going to show up there, right? Because
how much do you get a week?
It's not a high number. If
you're looking for Osmium, I feel like maybe two.
All
the raid orbs and the elite stores, I feel like I get maybe two of the uniques per week.
All the uniques, I'm looking for. Stockpile them. It is the major bottleneck right now. I don't see this unique problem going away until at least gear tier 19. Typically, they come out with a new threshold, a new bottleneck, and then they eventually relieve. The current bottleneck in this game right now is uniques. But I want to say this. This is an incredibly positive change. The one thing I'll say is that this was the unique for Green Goblin Classic, and we don't know what the unique is going to be on Red Goblin. And so the other two Green Goblins in the game, I believe, use the same unique, and then that could be a different problem, but it's still better than all alien spores because...
How surprised would you be if it was either alien spores or this augmented formula for Red Goblin, just based on the fact that they already switched this for Gwenom? Would you be surprised if it's something like that is really crunching the community, or would you be like, oh, okay, they made it like this? That's what I was thinking.
I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't want to predict. I feel like
I want you to predict that.
I feel like they heard, you know, people saying, hey, this alien spores crunch is real. And it was. It is, right? Yeah, I feel like this is a better solution, and this was well received, and they are listening. So there you go.
I feel like what happened was like alien spores should be for this character, but oh yeah, we forgot about all the crunch for all these other characters that take it. They're not going to be able to build this. Let's switch this up. So I feel that's kind of what happened there. They're just oversight.
If you have Super Skrull, you have to take him to 18, right? That's 65 gone. Yeah. It's just that simple. Like, but boy, I'm talking about all uniques in general. Hoard, acquire them, buy them, get them. I mean, don't slack on the uniques are a problem.
I got a lot of currency in my Crucible store, so no matter what unique pops up there, I'm buying it, whether I need it or not. I always buy it in Crucible store.
So that would be like the one thing I wish they would change is right now there is one slot in the Crucible store, and I buy that unique, even though I have like 100 of them, right? I just buy it because you don't know when you're going to need like a million of them, right? And so my one thing is that they would open up that Crucible store to maybe have three slots dedicated uniques.
Yeah,
that'd be better.
All right, and before we move on from this hive mind team, one more thing. This is the first time they've done like this for a team or a character. Mm-hmm. They are really, if you buy the character, they're giving you one of these meta items for this Pact of Wrath event. Each gives you something, and the first one, if you bought Hive, the Void Knight, you get a 7-star Venom or Carnage, and you get a diamond for Carnage, and then finally the costume. How much value does this add for players that are thinking about this team? Because these diamonds are kind of rare. This costume is just cosmetic. They didn't describe these diamonds there. Does these diamonds make it worth purchasing this character in this team? Or is this just some added bonus that you might be able to farm later?
I typically buy the cheapest pack. So like I bought the $50 pack. I didn't buy the $59 pack. I didn't buy the $100 pack. I just like to unlock the character because you get to do the bonus events, which have limited value, right? But there's bonus events, right? And you can get a little bit further.
They got some good uniques. This is how I got my last character up to do Kiln, because I didn't have a lot of these bio pieces. So I like these events too. There's even more added value.
Yeah, there's added value to buying an offer, which is expensive. You know, you barely get a functional character unlocked for $50. So they're adding value. Yeah, seven red cards is nice. Then Gwenham's going to come out and then you'll buy. Hopefully it's a $50 offer. I hope it's not a $100 offer. Maybe it'll be a smaller number, right? But generally, the expectation is that these offers on these three characters going forward, which we're talking about Void Knight, Gwenham, then Red Goblin, to get the Wrath costume now it's $150 basically is what the prediction is going to be, right? The costume doesn't. Who knows, right? But if the offers are $50, like they were on Void Knight, the least expensive offer on Void Knight that had the helmet to get that seven red carnage was $50. So
I think Gwenham is going to be a 25 just because she's a 45 shard unlock, whereas Void Knight was a 100 shard unlock. Those are usually 50. I'm hoping Red Goblin's also a 45 shard unlock, but he might be 100.
We don't know. There's definitely value to me to have a one diamond carnage for sure. That saves me 50 of the diamond silver promotion credits. I want a one diamond carnage for sure. The Nova costume is cosmetic. It doesn't enhance my gameplay, but that's interesting.
That's cool, and it's related to Mephisto. Now my prediction, and let me know if you think this holds water, we got the Nova costume here, we're gonna get another costume for Black Cat related to Mephisto, then we're gonna get one for Green Goblin related to Mephisto, and then is Dark Dimension 7.
I think sound
viable.
Yeah, in general, my feeling towards this is good, meaning that if Scopely can make money in ways that is not selling power, that is not selling pay to win through cosmetic means, I welcome that.
That's a good point.
Anytime that they can make a little bit money and move forward where it's not just pay to win or power, I think that's good.
Yeah, that's I like that. That's a good point. I liked it even better, but the point you make makes me like it even more. All right, let's move on to this. This was one of the most fun things in Marvel Strike Force I had in a while. The Tower of Kiln. My goodness, how fun did you have? How much fun did you have in this?
Okay,
and did you have to build any characters? Did you build up any characters specifically for this, or were you already built?
Okay, so I the day that this came out, I went all the way to the level 37 pretty quickly. Okay. And then I was gear locked. And this to me mostly was a gear check, right? Either you had characters. You had the ready to go. So like getting to level 37 was a function of do you have Super Scroll? If you have Super Scroll, then you had the legendaries at gear tier 17. So you could do 35, 36, and 37, right? Yeah. So going beyond that, 38, 39, and 40, I just finished yesterday. And
I just finished this morning. I'm super happy.
Well, so I know that there was a lot of people doing, like Super Scroll was done. And then you're just like, do I want to do Venom? Because, the alien spores, like it was kind of a mind fuck, right?
You're going to do them anyway, right? So might as well do them now, get some benefit from killing.
Well, that was my thing. Like, I know some people were saying, Boylan did, Super Scroll, Venom, and Swarm. And it's like, but do I want to take Swarm to gear tier 18? I wasn't okay with that. Oh, and so, I was like, I that's cool that worked. I don't have a problem with that, but I want to get through it. But I really strongly felt that I only wanted to upgrade characters that I was planning on upgrading anyways. Okay. So Super Scroll was done. I pulled the trigger on Venom, and then number three was Zombie Iron Man. I was able to get through it.
Oh, okay. I did. I upgraded obviously Venom. I had to upgrade Moonstone because I needed another villain because my lizard died very early on. So I upgraded Moonstone. I was out of the advanced MRI. So I was waiting for that one to get the gear tier stuff.
So you used four characters then. You used Lizard also. I used
four characters in the villain bio. Yeah. Okay. Lizard, Super Scroll, Venom, and then Moonstone. And then I also have to upgrade Omega Red for this, because I was struggling with this. I finally got through to level 37, but I ran out of characters. So I'm like, I should build up Red Hulk. I should build up Omega Red. I needed more power for Omega Red anyway for Crucible. So I was like, I'll build them up. And Moonstone is good in Crucible. So I didn't build up too many weird characters for this, just characters that I think I'm going to use anyway.
Yeah, so I want to say that this is mostly a gear check. Like, I don't, I mean, there was some minor strategy in it. Do you know what I'm trying to say, right? But yeah, mostly it was a gear check. It wasn't a skill check or an RNG check as much as it was. You either have
some of the nodes were RNG. Some of the nodes are RNG.
Yeah, I also was told by the people watching my stream that I got very, very lucky on 39. I think I got through it on my second or third attempt. And people were like, you don't know how lucky you got. I cruised through it. So I do like this event. I hope that they do more events in it. And the reason why this event was important is that diamonds on Gambit was something I wanted to do anyways. Yeah. A 3-diamond Gambit is not a joke. And I actually think that might create some problems in Cosmic Crucible and War.
That's why they did that.
Yeah, there's going to be so many 3-diamond. I mean, mine's like 500-something power now. It's crazy.
Now people got this. Now you got to upgrade Masters of Evil, even if you don't want to, just to beat that Gambit or something else. Now you got to upgrade them. Right. But yeah, this is going to be a problem in Cosmic Crucible. This is great for the raids, though.
Yeah, overall, I was skeptical of this kiln thing. I wasn't sure if the 3-man thing would go over well or not. And I can say I had a good time. I think there was a lot of people that just didn't have the characters upgraded, and it was probably not that great of experience. But for the people that did upgrade the characters, and I had to upgrade characters, sounds like you did too, right?
I did as well. Yeah, that's why I just got through it today. And yeah,
characters. I felt like that, you know, it pushed me to upgrade Venom and Zombie Iron Man. And for you, you upgraded what, Moonstone and Omega Red. And was it worth it to you? It was worth it to me.
It was worth it for the 3-diamond Gambit.
And it was a good experience. For me, this personally was a good thing. I like it. I hope they do these more often. I liked it. I had fun. I thought it was great. And I'm glad that it pushed me to upgrade, you know, like Venom and Zombie Iron Man probably earlier than I wanted to. And I'm glad that I upgraded those two. And I think because the Undying Team, I mean, you know, my hope for the Undying Team is that they will release another one next.
Every Halloween.
Halloween. And that's going to, my hope is that that is a 5-year team. And so I don't have a problem taking that character 18.
I think that's a good team. I think it's good. And as long as you're upgrading characters that you already are going to use and have a plan for, I think it's great. Do you think this is going to return either in some other form, maybe not Sword Satellite, maybe not Escape from Kiln, but another tower? Or do you think they're just going to revamp this? Maybe revamp some rewards or revamp some floors. I really liked how this was done. I hope they bring this back, but obviously they would need to change the rewards, change a few things. What do you think is going to happen the next time we get a tower?
Yeah, I don't think that they could re-release this in its identical form. Maybe they will. I mean,
they would definitely have to change the rewards, but other things,
yeah,
they
would have to make some changes as well. I don't know. Like, I feel like I don't know what they're going to do. This seems like a strange thing for them to do. You know, especially if it's one or done. The problem with creating PvE content, especially like this, where, you know, it's one and done, is like, how much work did it go to create this? You know,
Sword Satellite, I don't think that's ever coming back. And that looked like it took a long time to balance and everything like that. Yeah. Same thing with this.
I mean, there's somebody over there that is trying to make a determination if this was a good use of time. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if the amount of resources it took to create this just to be something that we did for a couple hours on a week, you know, is that, you know, because like, think about like all the effort that was put into created Cosmic Crucible, and now we play it all the time, right? Yeah. And it's kind of, other than updating the rooms, it's done, right? Or this, like, how much of it's left behind to make something new and to continue going it, or how much work do they have to put? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I think
it depends on the profit, because I've seen a lot of offers related. Oh, Escape from Kill Now. Get these uniques to get up your characters to gear 18. Get them stuff. So maybe I hope they made enough profit for this, because I want this kind of content to return. I had a lot of fun with this, so I hope it's worth the time and the profit that they get.
And the truth of the matter is that, you know, Setsy donated $20 to me to buy the Alien Spore so that I could do this. They got $20 out of me directly.
With a large roster already, right?
So like, this did fuel spending. You know, it did, right?
Yeah. So I hope it's worth it for them, that they could keep bringing these back, because I like this. Now, the other big thing, level 100 coming next week, Monday, coming on the 22nd, according to their dates. Who's your first tunes that you're going to level up? Obviously, it's not going to get level 100. You're going to be level 96, unless you're some Kraken with an amazing abundance of energy saved up. What are your first tunes you're going to level up?
All right, so it's going to be Super Scroll Apocalypse, without a doubt, right? Just those two, no matter what.
Your third is the one I'm really curious about. Okay, it might be Quicksilver. What are you thinking?
No, it's not going to be Quicksilver. I'm going to use characters. After that, it's going to be characters that I use in 3 out of the 4 game modes, and I can list off some characters that I use all the time in 3 out of the 4 game modes, right? So there's 4 important game modes, right? Arena, Raids, Alliance War, and Crucible, right? And in order of importance, in my opinion, is going to be Arena first, then Raids. And then more specifically on Raids nodes that I'm struggling in. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because we're simming some of the Raid stuff right now, right? So that is not a high priority. Then there's Alliance War and Crucible. So I'm going to be focusing on it's going to be Black Cat, Robbie Reyes, Hard Light. Those are going to be my first 5 right there, without a doubt. Yeah. And then from there, it's going to be characters like Kestrel, which is used in 3 nodes. Then it's going to be like Gambit, which is used in 3 nodes. Then it's going to be like Kang, which is just amazing in 2 out of the 4 game nodes. It's going to be those plug and play characters that are bonkers. Quicksilver for sure. Dormammu, you know, it's going to be those top 10 characters in the game, you know, which are important in, you know, at least 2 out of the 4 game modes, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. There's just characters that you and I both know are good in at least 2 out of the 4 game modes, and they're going to be good indefinitely there for, not indefinitely, but for another 6 months for sure. Like Dormammu is going to be good in 2 out of the 4 game modes for the next 6 months to a year, at least, maybe longer, right?
Even the raids. I still use it. Like when my Bifrost fails a sim, I still bring in Dormammu, now that they've removed that modifier that they can be revived once. So yeah, I still use them in raids sometimes. So yeah, I think we have the same top 10. I think our order is a little different after the Super Scroll Apocalypse, but I think our top 10 is pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's going to be Secret Defenders, and then it's going to be the plug and play mythics, or whatever they're called. It's going to be mythics mostly.
All right. So my other thing, they have this experience throttle event, bonus experience. I think you're the one that pointed this out.
Yeah.
Only level 65 through 94 is actually going to benefit from this. If you're under level 64, you're not getting any benefit from this. And obviously, if you're already 95, you're not getting this experience throttle. Why did they limit this to 65? I thought it was like level 40 the last time they did this. Why did they switch this?
It was 61.
But why even switch it? Why put a limit on this? Why not get everybody bonus experience? I would think they would want newer players to catch up, right? Why limit this?
So I'll be frank with this. I think this is somewhat of a non-event, kind of a nothing burger. My issue is messaging. I think if it would have said XP throttle bonus event will benefit players that are not at level, that starting at level 65, who currently are not at level 95. If they would have just thrown that in there, I think this would have been a non-event. It really would have been nothing, right? If they would have just stated what it was for, you know, 65 to 94, and have at it. Because I don't see them allowing this type of event initially right at the launch at 22. And it seems like the event was designed to catch people up to 95 as quickly as possible.
That's what this is for. My question is, why is it only 65 and above? Why not level 40 or 30? That's my big issue.
So I do know that you can get relatively easy up to about level 52, 53 in about 3 weeks, and then it slows down drastically. Yeah. So technically getting up to 65 is not as hard, and it gets a lot slower from 65 to 95. I mean, it's not this linear number. Like, you get to like 50, like lightning fast, and then it slows down, then it slows down, and it slows down, and it slows down, right? It just... Yeah. It's not this thing.
I haven't been there for a long time.
I think this would have just been better with different messaging. Now, do I wish that this event was for everybody and went live on the 22nd? Sure. Do I wish that my account that was at level 52, Kat's account at level 52, and that she could get the benefit of this? Absolutely, right? But I don't know. I just think... I don't know how much of it really matters.
That's what I want more though. I want newer players to get it. I don't care if my level 95 doesn't get this experience right now. I want newer players to catch up. That's what I'm more concerned
with. Me too. The thing that really threw me for a loop is why they didn't say what the minimum was. Like, we went back and looked, and the last time that they announced this event, they specifically stated it didn't work for counts under 61. And then the time before, which goes back 2 years, it was level 14. And this time they just said nothing at all, and it's 65. So I feel like this is a messaging problem.
14 to 60 is a big jump. All right. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? We'll probably get another experience bonus throttle after this goes live. So everybody that hasn't caught up can catch up and try to get these levels as soon as possible. I'm thinking minutes after this goes live, some of the Krakens are going to get level 100 right away. But let me know your thoughts in the comments. All right, the big thing here, we talked about this a little bit earlier. The Horseman challenges, they got a lot easier. They make sort of permanent, coming back every 2 weeks or so, and lasting for 5 days. One of the big problems the community had was, wait, we got to unlock these bad characters. Yeah. Well, Scopely, listen, we have more characters. Hive Mind, you can use them. Underworld in the Morgan Le Fay, in addition to Web Warriors and the Dark Hunters. Rogue added Infestation, Secret Defenders, New War. Oh, these are just good characters. No reason to build up these anymore. Yeah. Red Hulk, Asgardians got added. Not just Hero Asgardians, Black Order and Thanos is added. And then Minions nodes also have villains.
Yeah.
You could use Super Skrull. Well, yeah. I guess if you don't have Archangel unlocked, maybe you don't. But if you do it backwards, I know some people got like Doom before they got Phoenix. But anyway, this is great. And Pegasus, all that stuff. What do you think of this, and how helpful is this going to be for newer and mid-game players that don't have that Apocalypse unlocked? How helpful is this going to be for them?
Okay, first of all, I want to say I made 5 videos about this complaining about how terrible it was. So this and the reason why I made 5 videos is because, you know, I interact every day with people on Twitch, YouTube comments, and also Reddit. This was easily the most important and most public outrage I've seen about a single topic in a long time. And it did not stop for about a week straight. Like, it was, people were on fire about not being happy about this. And this right here still makes getting Apocalypse challenging, but now with the changes made to it, you're not throwing resources at extremely bad characters. So the difference between our experience and the people that are working on the Horsemen today is that we went through this month-long process to get Apocalypse. We got all the Horsemen. And we were upgrading Web Warriors, but Web Warriors were useful then.
Yes, they were the raid team at the time.
They are not now. That is a big change where people today are looking at this going like, I don't want, you don't want to upgrade Web Warriors, right? Would you tell anybody to upgrade Web Warriors? No, don't do it. So this gives a better path. And then the other thing too is that, yes, this will, you know, Hive Mind might be garbage a year from now. I don't know, right? That's a possibility.
Usually raid teams last a year and then they go away. So.
Yeah, I don't know. But here's the thing, though, that the way that this is set up now is that if there continues to be level cap increases and gear increases, and maybe we'll get an extension of, you know, ISO, we've already got diamond stars, you know what I mean? This idea of being able to do the first 4 nodes gets easier and easier as the game progresses, and the need to invest in these weird node 5 and 10 teams gets smaller and smaller as the game evolves with higher gear tier and level cap increases. Does that make sense?
It does. I do feel that people, when they're going to be wanting to do this before they get to level 100, though, or whatever the level cap is at the time, right? So once they get to level 60, I think people are going to be trying to, or maybe not 60, but, you know, as they get, they're going to try to do this as early as possible is what I'm saying.
I feel like the normal progression in this game is you do Dark Dimension 5, then you start working on Apocalypse, which is basically Dark Dimension 5.5.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the problem with Apocalypse, I think, going forward is, you know, right now there's still a relative, the problem is going to be different going forward. I think the problem is going to be the 23 characters that you need to get to 17 Phantom Blue ISO 5.
Scarlet Witch and got a Sunfire now even is not that valuable. So, yeah.
So the one thing that we learned from this is that on December 11th, they drastically changed the requirements of unlocking a lot of characters, whether that was Star-Lord, Doc Ock, or Nick Fury. Those had very restrictive characters, and now it is not the case. So there's this willingness to go and look at legendary characters and identify if those are characters worth upgrading to get that legendary, because a lot of people were looking at like Nick Fury, which was Kree minions, right? That was terrible. Well, they got rid of that. They changed it. And so there's a willingness to change it and update and to refresh it to make it more of a better experience for newer players. And they just did that with Horsemen Scourges. Now, what I'm saying is that they're probably going to have to do that again in the future, 6 months or a year from now.
Some of these characters are good now, but they're not going to be good in maybe a year and a half or 2 years.
I think this is a reasonable fix for today, if that makes any sense. It may not be the best fix 18 months from now or something like that.
They fixed this within a week. So in 6 months from now or a year from now, they could fix it like that. So I think this is not going to be a problem, I think.
This had to be fixed. So I feel like there were two camps on this. There are people saying, I want to coast and not upgrade any characters and get a couple shards and I don't want to upgrade my teams at all. And because that's the way it was, right? And Scopely didn't really and isn't really allowing for that. But it was completely unreasonable to expect people to upgrade Web Warriors, right? Yeah. So this is kind of like... This solution didn't satisfy necessarily the people that just wanted to coast. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, there was people that just wanted to coast. Well, they didn't do that. They're like, you've got to do something. But unfortunately, now it is better characters than it was before, and you're not having to upgrade Web Warriors. You can focus on Secret Defenders, and a lot of these characters that you can focus on now are going to help you in DD6 and maybe even DD7, right?
Yeah, this is good stuff. I like this. And anytime they do this in the future or anytime we need it upgraded in the future, they've shown that the speed that they could do this is pretty quick. So
this needed to be changed. To be changed. And I'm glad that they did.
I am as well. Let's talk about the events going on right now really quick. Solar Schematics, where you need to spend ISO 8 energy. You need to battle in war and... the web milestones blitzing. How much blitzing have you done and how much blitzing do you plan to do? Are you planning to max all those milestones? I know how much you hate blitzing, but you like blitzing. Rewards as well. So where are you with this Solar Schematics event?
All right, let's talk about the web event. So I've been blitzing on stream right now. I set a 1 hour timer. The one hour, I'm willing to admit that the 1 hour timer makes blitzing more tolerable. I really hate blitz.
I think everybody does, but it's better.
And so the way the event is structured, is my understanding, is that you need 150 wins per day over a 7 day period. So, you know, if you can do 3 or 4 rotations and get wins, depending on your roster size, you should be able to get through the web milestone. I believe I'm a little bit behind. I don't think I've been doing more than 3, and I'm not focusing on it. I mean, I'm just clicking the 3 buttons, and I don't know if I'm getting 50 wins per rotation right now.
I don't know how many wins I get. I just click next, play, next, play. I'm already done with it. There's 4 days left. So if you're willing to blitz, it's not that bad. But I mean, you gotta blitz.
So the changes to blitz are significant. Now you can blitz on the hour instead of every 2 hours. And it's still capped at 8 per day. So at some point you're going to hit a cap, but people that have been blitzing like you have finished it already. I'm behind. But the other thing too is that I feel like this event, you know, if I want to be more sweaty on the seventh day, I can do my eight rotations on the last day, right?
Yeah. I mean, 2 days, I pretty much got it. So the last 2 days, you could do like hard rotations and at this event or not if the stuff, because there are sunspot shards. This is not an event with a leaderboard. Right. So this is usually a more important event that you want to really push for, the leaderboard events. This is not one of them.
So I feel like they've heard my opinion on Blitz, that it's a garbage dog shit game mode that needs to be deleted from the game. And they're not going to do that. I feel like this is better than the other Blitz. I mean, better than the other Blitz events that we've had. This one's better than others. They don't seem willing to delete Blitz. Now, something that's changed my opinion on Blitz is super important for the new players. It's one of the primary ways of getting bulk shards. It's a way to learn the game. And it's one of the main things that a new player does, let's say up to level 60, right, is Blitz. Yeah. And there's that new player Blitz bracket, which exists for until you hit a certain level and so on. So I feel like there's always going to be a struggle, you know, with my concept of deleting it from the game where it's so important to the early game experience.
Are you talking for the shards, the rewards, or just learning the teams? Because remember both. Back in the day, we had to play these teams, and I got to know these teams well.
New players have to manually play it. There's no sim until I think level 60. So
okay,
it's also those Blitz orbs have a bunch of characters that are useful in the Blitz store. It's just and you get gold from the Blitz orbs. It's an important game mode, you know, for people in the first 6 months of playing Marvel Strike Force.
Agreed. It is what it is, you know, and we get some good rewards if we want to do one more event. This one does have a leaderboard. It's actually some pretty good ranking rewards here. Diamonds for Venom. For this one, though, you're going to need to do some raids and lots of raids. What did you guys do? Did you guys switch up how you're raiding at all? I know for day one, we did a Gamma one and we got all the extra man milestones done, all the limits done. What did you guys do for this event? Are you just doing your normal rotations, your normal raids?
Well, if you mean by normal is 100%ing the hardest difficulty every day, yes, we're doing what we normally do.
Jeez, okay. Nice. I just wonder if you switch your, because we switch our Greek. We switch one of our Greeks.
There's nothing more to do, right?
Yeah. We switch one of our Greeks, that's it.
No, we're looking to be at a top 10 in the 2 week milestone to get the three diamonds.
You guys are probably there right now, right?
Yeah, I don't know where we're. Cantina Learns 11. We might have to push, but anyways.
Is there a way to push other than spending? Okay, that's what I was like, wait, how can we drop so much? We're doing all the raids. The only thing limit is the spending. I guess we're not spending.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. These leaderboards are a function of spending at some point. It's just the way the game is designed. I mean, these, let's just call it what it is. It's an auction. That's what it is. It's an auction. I don't know what to tell you. It's an auction. Yeah, that's cool.
Your pause is so long. I looked over.
It's an auction. It's a spending. Okay. So yes, there are things that you can do to contribute to the event, but at the end of the day,
there's caps,
and then it's just going to be a function of spending at the end, and who's going to be willing to spend money? It's an auction.
All right. One more thing that's not an auction, but it is something you can spend money on, the battle pass and strike passes. I think it was announced on your stream yesterday that the next strike pass character is going to be Nightcrawler. What do you think of the value of these strike passes? I mean, there's some that we get with characters that are unfarmable. Some we get some good stuff with some farmable characters. Which do you prefer? These kind of battle passes that have these farmable characters, but, you know, not the dark promo credits and other stuff, or do you prefer the farmable characters? I mean, what do you prefer with this? Are you not buying either of them?
No, I bought the dark promo one.
Okay.
I did not buy, which was it? The battle pass has dark promos. The strike pass does not. Strike pass
is the one with the gear. Yeah. So this is great if you're not already in Dark Dimension 6.
I did not buy it. You know, so here's the thing is
diamonds,
that.
Diamonds.
Yeah, you get 110 diamonds. Here's the thing. So it's $20 and there's one every single week. So there's a total of four over a 28 day period, right? So it's, yeah, if you want to buy all the battle passes, it's $80 a month. You know, are you willing to spend $80 a month on this game? I mean, I'm going to suggest that
some,
if you're
going, not me though.
Yeah, if you're gonna spend $80 on this game, I do think that's the first $80 you should consider spending on, right? Would you agree with that? If you're willing to spend $80,
this is the best value. This is gonna get you the best bang for your buck in the game.
It's gonna be the best bang in the buck in the game. And but here's the thing: if the battle pass characters aren't interesting to me, I'm not gonna consider it. I mean, I need the dark promos, so I did buy this one. The reason why I need the dark promos is that there's a situation in Cosmic Crucible where Doom's important to have higher stars. So I've been thinking about that a lot lately, is getting Doom up to 7. And then there was also a data mine that suggested that at some point there's going to be dark promos for Super Scroll. Right now, the no-brainer with dark promos is... Yeah.
We had that last week or two weeks ago.
I don't. First of all, data mines are not always true, right? They don't always happen, right? Some of them are default
80%, but the other 20% we just never hear about again.
Yeah, I think the rate is higher than that. I want to say it's probably 95% of them are accurate, but what I'm going to say is that right now, as far as dark promos, the only real no brainer right now is Apocalypse, and then. Once, you know, I think most people have, I'm guarantee you have 7 red Apocalypse, right? You got to do it, right?
That's the first one.
Yeah, run, don't walk. Yeah. But when Super Scroll becomes a thing, it's the same situation. Run, don't walk.
That'll be the first one. That'll be you the first have to one do when it. Super Scroll's there.
So there's a cap on dark promos. You can, there's a 12,000 cap. So, you know, you're at 2,500, but it's just dark promos are important. And 3,500 dark promos for $20 is going to be the cheapest way to get them. And so I've been buying the one with the dark promos. The other one is going to be dependent on whether or not I like the characters or not.
I want to upgrade these characters, but we're getting so much through means. It feels like, you know, I haven't spotted these for a while and I already have 2,500 and I just upgraded Quicksilver like a couple weeks ago to 6. So it feels like with these events, we're getting enough. So I'm like, should I buy this, get this stuff right now or just do these events? And I've been doing the events, but I might be switching.
The threat of Super Scroll coming to dark promo sooner than later kind of fueled me to. I don't think they're that smart to like put that in the data mines just to fuel sales. I don't think they're that smart enough to do it because I actually don't think that data mine is 100% accurate. Out of all the data mines we've had for a while, I think that one is less likely to come true immediately than most data mines we get. I feel like Super Scroll's so strong right now. And I don't think having more red stars in Super Scroll is gonna be a good, healthy thing for the game because the haves and haves not. What is there, 10,000, 11,000 people that have Super Scroll? If you don't have Super Scroll, you're having a bad day in Cosmic Crucible. If you don't have Super Scroll and you're coming up against Super Scroll people in your Cosmic Crucible arena, it's a bad time, right?
Yeah. So... I'll wait, but yeah, I mean, we know eventually it's going to happen. We know eventually we're going to get these stars
someday
for Super. The question is when. So, yeah, I guess thinking long term of the game, hopefully it's later rather than sooner because it is a problem in the PvP content with Super Scroll.
I don't think we need 7 red Super Scrolls or diamonds on Super Scrolls today. Super Scroll is already
not today.
He's so strong. And there was I got Super Scroll late, right? Compared to a lot of people. And not having Super Scroll was not fun. Specifically, I mean, he's so strong. Now that I have Super Scroll, things are fine. But when I didn't, it didn't feel good.
Yeah, I was probably a few weeks behind you. And I'm like, man, and we ended up with the same arena shard. I see your Super Scroll. I'm like, man, he's climbing up. Oh, he's in number one. Oh, he's number one again. Because nobody had Super Scroll at the time. It was like you're just retaining that rank. Really,
Super
really
Scroll is the biggest definer of have and have nots right now. And I'm making that have not situation wider, I don't think is good. Super Scroll is strong enough right now. He's so strong. He's so good.
Agreed. All right. Level 100. We talked about it. There are some data mines for this event. And this is an event related to the month-long milestone. This should be coming next week. And we have Blast Up at 100. For this event, this is related to the month-long milestone. You're going to get century credits in a limited time store and have some character shards. I'm guessing Pegasus. I'm guessing Extreme X-Men, because the previous stores we've had have the most recent two unfarmable teams. And then there's going to be a leaderboard. Reed Diamond Nova also battling in raids.
Yeah. Action.
So spending campaign energy on this stuff. 50 core refreshes are you going to do? Are you going to do hundreds on this? Because there is a Diamond Nova for this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Diamond Nova is going to be out of reach unless you're willing to spend. Those leaderboards are auctions. So, but I do like the event store. For me, that is the most favorable way of doing things. I really like them. I really think, you know, if I need uniques, I do uniques. If I need character shards, I go character shards. I just really like event stores. I think they're the best.
I do as well. Next thing I want to talk about as far as the data mines, Pegasus becoming farmable. Now, usually the order of operations, we get the announcement on a Friday, and then the following Thursday or Friday, we get them farmable. Now, we have not had an announcement, so we may get one tomorrow, which would mean that they would be farmable on the 26th or 25th or 26th of January. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't come till next week, probably not going to be farmable to the 1st or 2nd of February, but what this data mine does say, Infinity War Iron Man going to be available in a Cosmic Crucible store for elite Crucible credits. Darkhawk going to Hard 7-6, replacing Morbius, who's still going to remain in the Blitz store. And Ironheart Mark II going into the War store. What do you think of the locations for these characters as their farmability?
Okay, so what this means to me today is, I don't know when you're releasing this video, but today. Today is payout for Crucible, right? You know, the end of the week, right?
Yes.
And normally, because I have such a severe crunch on uniques, I open with Elite Crucible credits all of those orbs. I do it every week because there's no character in there that I need, right?
Yeah.
But now that an Iron Man Infinity War is potentially going to be available in there, I'm not going to do that this week. So this week, when I get my payout, I'm going to be saving my Elite Crucible credits in hopes that Iron Man Infinity War will be farmable with those credits in the near term. So I'll hang on to them for a week is what I'm going to do, right?
Okay.
And then and then a week from today, when the next payout happens, I'll probably flush them the day before and convert them into, because I need those orbs have uniques in them. And I need uniques, right? And so I probably will save them for like 6 days, 7 days. And then when I get closer to the a week from today, which is next Thursday, then I probably will dump all of that I have like before the next payout. Does that make sense? That's my strategy.
I'm doing something similar. I spent pretty much all my elite credits opening them for the uniques for the Kiln Tower. Now that I'm done with Kiln Tower, I'm saving all of them until this announcement goes live in the game. Yeah. And then, easily farmable Darkhawk and the War store. I need more War credits as well, so I might stop farming uniques there as well now that I'm done with the Kiln Tower, because I don't know. I've been buying War credits with my Alliance credits. I still don't seem to have enough, though. Are you in the same problem, or am I just spending too much?
So War, I have a shortage of War credits, you know, but, you know, every time you play in a war, you get, you know, maybe 10,000 or something, you know, and then you get paid out. But typically I'm buying uniques with those, and there's three. That's actually probably one of the fairer stores for uniques. What, there's three slots that have uniques, but you know, when I come across a unique where I have like 10 or 1 or 20, and it's like I'm buying it, right? So I'm gonna have to back off of that for Ironheart, this is one of the situations where War store currency is pretty valuable in getting uniques. I might actually be willing to buy like a $5 offer for 50 Ironheart shards. If that means to me that I'm going to be able to use my War credits for uniques instead of Ironheart. I mean, that's a decision that I might have to make. Darkhawk into 7-6 is super easy. That's great.
Any other final thoughts, Mobile Gamer?
I'll just say this. In the history of Marvel Strike Force, you know, when somebody says to me, I'm thinking about coming back to Marvel Strike Force, I want to start back playing the game, traditionally my answer is be like, why? Why would you want to do that, right? And I don't feel that way now. People are coming back to the game and they are having positive feedback about their experience now versus when they were playing the game 2 years ago. Are you stuck and kind of screwed in your arena? for sure.
Yeah.
But even people that are, they're saying, yeah, I'm only at like 150 or I'm at 100 and I haven't played the game. And people in general are having very favorable things with their experience coming back to the game. That has not been the case in the past. It was not that way. Things are different.
I don't think I've ever felt that I like this happy with the game until now. You know, there's just shards, everything, the fun of the game, recommending this, them wanting to streamline the experience for newer mid game players. Yeah. I'm not as hesitant to recommend this to people anymore. I'm like, this is a fun game.
It's like somebody over there discovered that if the players are happy and having fun, they might stick around and spend some money. What a concept! Holy moly!
It only took him 6 years to realize that. Come on, don't be as hard on them. Come on.
Oh my god, it's such a weird concept. But that being said, I'm going to remain skeptical because it's been a long road, right? But yeah, the game, the fact is the game is in a better place than it was, let's say, a year ago. That's the truth.
Agreed. Thank you guys for watching. Let me know your thoughts on the game right now. If this video did provide you some value, leave it a like. It is free for you, and it tremendously helps out the channel. And if you want to see what are the best teams in Marvel Strike Force, ranked from best to worst, check out the video up there, and I'll see you guys next time. Are you referring to Hulk Fist Bump Mobile Gamer?
Hit the like button twice.
Three times.
No, twice.
Hulk Fist Bump Valley 5 Mobile Gamer.
It's a trap.
Have a great rest of your day.